Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Cause and effect. Because Jesus was drawing in crowds of sinners and tax collectors, continually, mind you, the Pharisees and scribes murmured to themselves, continually. Definitions of this word murmur from the Greek lead us to understand this as backroom speaking, gossip. Taking under one's, or talking under one's breath so as not to allow the real target to hear. It is what people do when they do not like what is going on and when they feel superior to those who are involved. Mumble, murmur, grumble, whine, complain. Jesus' continual drawing in of these sinful crowds was a sore subject for the Pharisees and scribes because Jesus was not following the standard of social graces and associations. In those days, there was an understood gradation of people in Jewish society. At the top, number one, were the priests and the Levites, including the Sadducees. Number two were the Pharisees and the scribes. Number three were the working class people, those commoners who were busy about their days making a living. Fourth on the list were the sinners and tax collectors. And down at the bottom were those who had to live their lives as slaves. Rabbis, like Jesus, should only be seen associating with those above him. Pharisees, scribes, priests. For the goal was to aim high, not put yourself low. Not Jesus. He defied the social norms and the customs of the elders. He made the Pharisees and scribes nervous and uncomfortable in their seats. Grumble, grumble is their response. Knowing that these religious scholars were harboring this resentment deep in their hearts, and even more importantly, that they were not repentant even one little bit, Jesus proceeds with the three lost parables. These Pharisees and scribes, especially because they were upright in the sight of the people, did not feel the sting of God's law. As children of Abraham, as they readily stated, they were people of the promise. They would not entertain the thought that they too were in need of this message of repentance being taught first by John the Baptizer and now by this Nazarene Jesus. The descendants of Abraham would receive all the promises made to their forefather. But what these Pharisees and scribes clumsily overlooked was that being children of Abraham was done by faith, not by blood. Not willing to give up, even on these arrogant Pharisees and scribes, Jesus started talking about a lost sheep. What man would not leave his 99 sheep in the wilderness and search out for the one that is lost? Truly, this would be crazy in the mind of a normal person, right? For how could one be worth so much? And why would such a shepherd leave so many for so few? As true with so many of Jesus' parables, he was painting a picture of God's kingdom and what that is like. Normal rules and expectations of this world, therefore, do not apply. And so this story is revolting, with the intent to shock the spiritually dead Pharisees and scribes into recognition of their failure to understand God's kingdom at all. Jesus added to it that the lost sheep was found, and the shepherd called his friends and family to help him celebrate. And even more than that, Jesus said that there is more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than for the many who need not repent. Scandalous indeed. George Frederick Handel begins a movement of his masterpiece, The Messiah, by quoting the words from Isaiah 53. These are the ever-familiar words. All we like sheep have gone astray. The stumbling block of the Pharisees and the scribes in today's text is the first word there. All. No exceptions, no excuses, all we like sheep. Ouch. Hurts, doesn't it? The Pharisees and scribes did not want to confess to their own sin and sinfulness. They believed themselves to be more righteous than the others, and that God would indeed hold them in such high regard. They believed that the all did not apply to them. They believed that they belonged to the 99 sheep that did not need to repent. You, me, the Pharisees, the scribes, all who are born into this world, all who are sinners, all are the lost sheep. There are no exceptions, and we all need to be saved. Thanks be to God who has saved us already in the waters of holy baptism. And yet, each and every time that we sin, we venture out on our own away from the shepherd. Each and every day, every hour, every minute, we wander lost in our sinfulness. But Jesus remains our shepherd. He sees the baptismal mark upon you, the sign of the cross made upon your forehead and upon your heart, marking you as ones redeemed by himself. And he tracks you down. He seeks you out. Jesus Christ causes his word to come into your ears, so that you hear his unmistakable voice and do not resist his rescue. In true humility and repentance, you turn from the precipice of your sin and you let your Savior take you back once again. His sweet words touch deep into your heart, giving you peace. Once more, I forgive you. And the angels rejoice. I tell you, Jesus said, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Can you imagine that scene? Of course, these words are from the second lost parable, but they can easily be applied to this first one as well. How remarkable is that? If you view the angels as highly as most, this is mind-blowing. For God's faithful angels are constantly in His presence. They earnestly seek, along with God, the finding of all lost sheep, the repentance of sinners. They rejoice, get excited, are happy when you and I repent. If this plan of salvation is good enough to cause the angels of God to rejoice, and it is good enough for God to put everything on the line, how can you honestly suggest another way? All we, like sheep, have gone astray, each to his own way. But God has laid on Christ Jesus, the Lamb, the iniquity of us all, and heaven rejoices. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Now the peace that does pass all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ. Amen.